Saddle up your horses.
Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. Of course, packed program as always. If you need to contact me, please feel free to do so. RedskyRadio777@gmail.com. I'm here to receive your complaints, your compliments, and contributions if you are so inclined. Anyway, here we go. Let's get going. I'm going to start today with about the lightest piece of good news I can come up with. And it is good news. And I got quite a bit of good news, though none of them are huge stories. But this one deals with the NBA championship. I'm not really a basketball fan. I played it first couple years in high school. I was decent. I wasn't great. I was decent. I just didn't care for the game that much. And I never have been since. And I didn't watch the finals between the Mavericks and the Boston Celtics, but I was distinctly rooting for the Celtics. I love, love, love their coach, Joe Mazzulla. I mean, this is just one great Christian guy. Unflappable. Stands, having been called a stand, he stands. He wore a T-shirt there, and it wasn't because of this. This is no surprise at all. It says, "But first, let me thank God." That's his T-shirt. Fully expecting to win, but even if he didn't win, it was God's going to get the first thanks. Always, but let me first thank God. And the Celtics just crushed him. I've come to love this team. Not a fan of the city of Boston, but I love the Celtics, even though I'm not even a basketball fan, but I love it when God gets the glory. And gee, what a surprise that probably the most outspoken NBA coach out there for God is the one that God elevates and gives a platform. I mean, I think that's out of 1 Samuel. If you will, if you honor me, I will honor you. That's what God says. Well, if he's going to honor God, then God's going to honor him and give him the biggest platform there is in all of basketball, the NBA championship. And so millions of people can see that he stands for the Lord. Next item of good news, Governor Jeff Landry of Louisiana signed a bill making Louisiana the 16th state to block credit card tracking of gun purchases. Now, I don't know if this applies to ammo, but it does apply to guns. This is huge. I am so supportive of this. This is more states need to do this. What it's coming down to, it's sort of like the colonialists versus Britain. In this, the conservatives versus the control freak Democrats, who want to know everything about you so they can control you, manipulate you, intimidate you into doing their bidding so they can maintain control, just like Satan. Yep. Now, I think it's important, while a shout out for the state of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, to let you know what the other states are that have had the guts to do the same thing. And keeping in mind that every single one of these states, every single one of them, comprises I've said there are 17 to 20 states that I think could secede from the Union. That list that I have had for many years now, modified from time to time, includes every one of the following states that have also passed legislation to block credit card tracking of gun purchases. They are Alabama, Georgia, Tennessee, Iowa, Kentucky, Wyoming, Indiana, Utah, Florida, Idaho, Mississippi, Montana, North Dakota, Texas, West Virginia, and now Louisiana. Every single one of those states is part of the secession group that I've identified for many years past that may just have to say, sorry, but it's been fun, but now we have to scream. We're going to have to pick up our marbles and go if this country becomes any more like King George in its effort to control, intimidate, malign, oh, goodness sakes, the good people. Okay, next good news. Coming out of Italy. I've never had a piece of good news coming out of Italy because that's where the Pope is. I've never had any good news about the Pope. I've done this program for 18 years. 18 years we've been on the air. I have never had a good story about the Pope. There hasn't been a good Pope in 18 years. Some are better than others, which means some are worse than others. But this comes from Italy's Prime Minister, Giorgia Meloni. And she has stood up. She's a conservative through and through. It's about time. And she is the one who's credited for blocking Joey No Brains Corn Pop Biden's agenda for abortion and LGBTQRSDUVWXYZQQIIA+IA ideology at a recent meeting of the G7. And you saw that video of Biden wandering off at the G7 meeting. I love the Babylon Bee satirical piece on that. It said that the G7 was changed to the G6 as Joe Biden wanders off. Well, so this is, and I've said this so many times, but I have to keep saying it, I feel like. America's number one export is sin, whether it's all the queer crap with all the agencies and embassies flying the crap flag, the fag flag, as I call it, and more people are calling it that. We've sort of had it. It's time. Nice is over. It's time to just speak the truth right in their face, and it leads to conflict, physical conflict. So be it. It's just time to take a stand. So Biden, who's ridiculously bent on pushing that which Barack Hussein, also known as B.O., his social agenda on the entire globe, was stopped by Maloney's actions. She described Biden's efforts to promote anti-family ideologies for political reasons as profoundly wrong. Well, she's being nice to the guy, right? So isn't it sort of amazing, though? We can't get people in the United States to do the right thing. We can't get a lot of Republicans to do the right thing. We've got to go out of this country and get to Italy. We've got to rely on Italy to do the right thing because we can't seem to do it here. Well, that's the end of my good news, folks. Now we're on to the other stuff. And we have a special topic, as we will get to in this program. And it's going to deal with why I want Joe Biden to do really well at the debate this coming week. Yep, you heard me. But you'll have to listen to the reasons, which I think is a very sound rationale to support my perspective here. But first of all, this is no surprise. I mean, there's just every month there seems to be a new discovery as to the general decline of morality in the Democrat Party. In fact, it isn't a decline of morality. It's just a descent into immorality. There isn't any morality there to talk about morality. But it deals with adultery. So in this survey in year 2000, the General Social Survey, which is a leading barometer for Americans' views on social issues, 23 years ago, published their survey that stated that 85% of Republicans found adultery to be wrong. Only 77% of Democrats found adultery to always be wrong. Now, come forward to 2022. This is the last year, 22 years. The Republicans that think that adultery is wrong slipped from 85 to 84 over 22 years. The Democrats dropped from 77 that think adultery is wrong down to 60%. A 17-point drop. So understand now the general immorality of Democrats, which is we now have a new category, for 4 out of every 10 Democrats think adultery is apparently just fine. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, this next piece is not something that surprises me, but I'm just glad that it's finally come out in something that is, let's say, empirically supported. That the United States State Department, they have now verified through congressional subpoenas that the State Department in the last 4 years, particularly in 2020, has been making payments, our tax money, to censor by proxy the conservatives and particularly small businesses. Okay, so the subpoena from the House Small Business Committee, part of an investigation into a particular company, Global Engagement Center, where we, the taxpayers, gave these scum-sucking pigs $100,000 to pressure advertisers to boycott conservative media. Now, we know this has been going on, but we've known it intuitively. Now we know it empirically. The subpoena specifically asked for details on cash by the State Department. In other words, your tax money being handed out to NewsGuard, the Global Disinformation Index, the Atlantic Council, Park Capital Investment Group, the Poynter Institute, to do what? To censorship by proxy and interfere with American small businesses because of their lawful speech. The payments to these organizations to put pressure on advertisers to not support conservative businesses. These scum-sucking pigs. My gosh, you know, I'm getting to the point where it's just time, I guess, for maybe we just have term limits for everybody. Real short, start over every 4 years or whatever in a rotation. So people can finally do the right thing without having to be concerned about getting reelected. I'm tired of people with no cojones. Sheesh. That's about my third sheesh here already today. Well, now we get into the deeper look. The Democrat evil, it just keeps going deeper and deeper. And I know you're wondering why I want Joe Biden to do well. We're going to get to that. But I've got these next two stories I want to consider as my contribution to Queer Pride Month. So what is that contribution I'm making? The truth. The truth. For the U.S. is now going to invest $4 million. Of whose money? Yours and mine. To help expand the LGBTQI+ agenda in Latin America and the Caribbean. Down there where, in Latin America where Catholicism is particularly strong and there's a natural aversion to all this queer crapola. And the Caribbean, which has some of the most pro-family legislation anywhere, I think it's Jamaica, even though it's riddled with crime, it is the worst country in the Western Hemisphere for queers. The best country for family values. I mean, it's sodomy is punishable. And Joe wants to change that by spending $4 million to not only does Joe not have the guts, the morals, the brains, anything to do anything right, or any of the Democrats who are his puppet masters, but as opposed to, I mean, in addition to not allowing people to continue in pursuit of the truth, he wants to be a participant in bringing darkness to the islands and to Latin America. Not only will he not enter into the truth, he wants to keep others from finding the truth. He wants to become twice the proselyte of hell as his mentor. Brach Hussein. Story number one. Story number two. I do not know how this is legal. Queers have demanded forever for all non-discrimination. Non-discriminatory laws. Talk about our feelings. Talk about how we're discriminated against. Talk about our psyche, how it's damaged by discrimination. Whatever you do, don't you talk about what we do in private. Because it's nasty. It's ugly. It's perverse. It's gross. It's why God calls it an abomination. Pretty simple. But they're always out for non-discrimination, right? Well, not really. They're not out for non-discrimination. They're out for preference. They're out for persecuting, prosecuting, punishing anybody who disagrees with their queer agenda. I mean, what I predicted about 8 or 9 years ago is happening. We always talk about hate speech. I started to talk about hate silence, where they conclude that you must be anti-queer, you must be homophobic, if you don't come out and positively support the fag flag. Well, let's see how this equality thing is working out. Because in the state of Maine, the city of Portland, they are erecting what's called the Equality Community Center. Now, it's going to be a five-story housing unit of one-bedroom and two-bedroom and studio units. So it's going to have 54 housing facilities. And guess what? There are two requirements to get in. One, you have to be at least 55. Number two, you have to be queer. You have to be queer to get the housing. How is this not the discrimination? You know, we talked all about California is the first one to invoke laws that didn't allow you to discriminate against renting or selling to queers. Now you got to be queer to get this. And who's paying for it? The two people, two groups, the taxpayers of Maine under Maine's housing tax credit, and then federal tax credits, meaning your money and mine is, to quote the libs of TikTok here, Maine opening up new publicly funded affordable housing. The qualification is that you must be LGBTQ, according to the Fair Housing Discrimination Based on Sexual Orientation or Gender Identity. Well, that's illegal. So how is this legal? End quote. Good question. Well, it's because Democrats have never cared about the law unless the law was to their advantage. They've always been about abusing the law. Well, you know what? I got them out of order because I actually had one other good story. I'm going to revert back to that so mine and everybody else's blood pressure can take a small little dive here. Another state, God bless the state of Kansas, which has launched a civil lawsuit against Pfizer over its COVID shots, alleging that the corporation, quote, misled the public that it had a safe and effective vaccine in violation of the Consumer Protection Act. To quote from the lawsuit, it says that Pfizer, quote, willfully concealed, suppressed, and omitted material facts relating to the COVID-19 vaccine, the most egregious ones regarding safety of the vaccine for pregnant women in regard to heart conditions, and then its effectiveness against variants and its ability to stop transmission. Pfizer marketed its vaccine as safe for pregnant women, and it was not. 10% of the women that had adverse effects from it were miscarriages. I should add, though, this is interesting. How much did Pfizer make from their crappy vaccine, which has killed a lot of people and reduced the life expectancy and compromised their health in so many ways, which we've gone into before? $24.1 billion is how much Pfizer made on these stupid crapola shots. 60% of its revenue, in other words, over $14 billion, just came from the scam and sham deal of safe. No, they weren't safe. Can't get the COVID if you get the shot. Lie. Can't transmit it if you get it. Lie. Lie, 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 lie. All over the place. Okay. Before we get to the story of the day, something that may be as serious as anything from just simply a practical standpoint. Our national debt. I know we don't like to talk about it. In a sense, it's boring, but it is so critical. And I want to tell you, we're screwed. We absolutely are. Our national debt now is over $35 trillion. It increases by $1 trillion every 3 months. Trump's partly to blame. Trump did badly on the deficit. The national debt. He kept adding to it. Republicans add to it. Democrats add to it. And why? Because they want to get their derrieres reelected. They don't want to be the one that killed this program or that program. So we'll just spend our way into hell and let future generations deal with the implosion of the United States for economic reasons. Now, we're not even talking the moral reasons. The moral reasons are enough. So I was reading and finishing in 2 Kings just this morning how Josiah, what a fabulous king he was. There was no king like him. He's better than David. No king before him or after him like Josiah. And yet, his grandfather, Manasseh, was so bad, so wicked, so evil, so sexually debauched, had slaughtered so many children as human sacrifices, that the blood, as it was with Abel from Cain's murder, cried out from the ground. And God said, even though, Josiah, you've done a great job, your reward is that you're going to go to sleep in peace. You're going to come to me in peace. And I will visit the judgment, even though you've done well. The wickedness has been so severe, I have to judge it. And of course, it's very shortly after that everybody in Judah got hauled off to Babylon for 70 years. Okay. The national debt is just simply another feature of a nation so stuck in sin, it couldn't care less about the future. It only is interested in pleasing themselves in the present. Now, I want to break this down for a second. We're at 35 plus trillion. Who knows? Maybe we're at 36 by the time the broadcast ends, and it's not because I'm going to be on the air for a month straight here. Do you realize that this works out to $100,000 for every single person in the United States? So I just kind of look at my family. I mean, children and grandchildren. Well, one of them owns $400,000. Another one, $800,000. We got a lot of kids, grandkids. Or people with, let's just stop for a second. If every single person for themselves, or if you're the head of the household, had to sit down and write a check for you, your spouse, and your children to the tune of 100,000 times how many? Let's take the family of four. We got to pay off the national debt or we're screwed. Well, we are screwed because we can't do it. You know there's going to be a change coming in the monetary system, and it's going to be ridiculous. It's going to be severe. It's going to be damaging. It'll be damning. It'll be destructive to many, not all. Some of the time we're going to need to spend more time on the preparation here. How many could sit down? Family of four. All right, sit down right now and write a check for $400,000. I'm not able to do that. Some could. I don't doubt that some can. Family of six kids, or write a check for $800,000 right now. My guess is a family of six kids doesn't have the $800,000 lying around. Oh, if they got enough equity in their house, I guess they could mortgage it to pay the national debt. But the Republicans here are as much to blame, and in some respects, more so than the Democrats. Why? Because they control the budgetary process. We don't have to spend what we're spending if it weren't with the complicit support of Republicans. All right, you probably know that the biggest item in the budget is military spending. There are defense budget. I think it's just a hair under $1 trillion a year, or I'm not exactly sure the precise amount, but I do know for a fact that the interest on our debt, not our debt, just the interest on our debt, what we pay for that, is greater than our military budget, our defense budget. How do you get out of this? How do you get out of this? I mean, Michael Brown, who I really appreciate his articles, he made a comment, and I found myself really supporting it. I don't want judgment on this country. However, maybe God needs to really do something enormous to cause us to fear him once again, which isn't good. Not something good. It's not a good thing in the eyes of the people. It would be horrific. Our money is confiscated by the federal government to pay the debt. Confiscate our IRAs. And then claim that we owe the tax liability on them as a withdrawal. I mean, I could throw out a gazillion things here that could happen, and it's not necessarily even one to the exclusion of all the others. Could be multiple things. I mean, I read the other day, the federal government and state agencies around the country are really after homeschoolers. They want federal regulations. Why? Because people are voting with their feet and getting out of crappy government schools. Again, control, control, control. They can't stand the loss of control. And so if you cannot have representatives who, I'm assuming they control their own personal spending at home, why do they not control the spending when it involves somebody else's money? For two reasons. Number one, because it is somebody else's money. And number two, they can use somebody else's money to help keep themselves in office instead of getting thrown out on their derriere for cutting back on federal spending. Hence, the need maybe for term limits. They won't have to worry about doing the right thing anymore, right? If they do the tough thing, they just don't get reelected. Maybe if we had the term limits, they could actually do the right thing for change. Robin Walter, The Robin Walter Show, will be right back. Don't go away.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
We are back. This is Robin Walter of the Robin Walter Show. I'm going to give you the email address again for a specific purpose. It's redskyradio777@gmail.com. If, and just tell me what you think, if you would like me to turn the volume of the music down, just tell me, and I will. I don't know. I just like playing that rock stuff loud. I wasn't a rocker person. I was never a headbanger. I didn't get into that stuff, but there are just certain songs that, man, they have me jumping, man. They just really do. And frankly, I'm glad I have not lost that at my age. But anyway, just you don't have to write me to tell me you love it. If you do, that's great. That's fine. But if you really think I should turn it down, then do it. I will notch it down. Okay. Now we move on to spending some time, maybe the rest of the program here, dealing with the upcoming debate. I could go into a lot of suppositions as to why the debates are when they are, as to who is asking the questions, and so forth. I do want to say that I'm not sure I trust CNN, obviously. Being the moderator, to me that's mistake number one, because Trump has agreed to the latest rules for the debate, which I think are actually really good rules. Number one, or I don't know what order they're in, but each person's mic is off during the other person's time to speak, so that we're not going to have this cutting in and throwing back and forth. And I know why they permitted that in other debates, even the debates for the Democratic nomination in 2020, for the debates regarding here in 2024 for the Republican, is because it makes for good TV. People seem to like a fight. I don't know. They just like that to a certain extent. That goes over the edge and you just want to punch somebody in the face, or I just simply turn off the TV. But I kind of get it. It's sort of like people, do they go to the Indy 500 to really see the winning car streak across the line? Or is it a social event, but they're secretly hoping to see some wrecks, some crashes? They don't want to see people hurt. I understand that. But they like to see some wrecks. I have a granddaughter, just the sweetest girl on earth. In fact, I've nicknamed her the sweetheart of my rodeo. You know, she's just but what does she really, really love? She loves watching hockey fights. She loves hockey and especially likes the fights that break out. I don't know what it is. I sort of get that when it comes to the debates on TV. There's a certain level of sparring that's actually a bit productive in that it helps elicit a person's degree of control or lack of self-control, how quick they are on their feet with an appropriate response. I like that stuff, but it's very, very limited. And I think that they understand in setting these debate rules that Joe, well, let's make this simple. Trump, not the most controlled person, is far more controlled than Joey No Brains. Joey cannot quit popping off at a reporter that will ask him a tough question. He cuts off anybody that's not on his side. In fact, the other day he's out complaining that the media is not being as nice to him as they should be. Well, look, media has an obligation to only be as nice to Joey Corn Pop as they are to Donald Trump. And we know how not nice they are to Donald Trump. So Joey doesn't deserve anything more than Trump gets. But he can't stand it. And if you've seen him interrupt people, start going down the path of a question he doesn't like, he doesn't want to answer, he doesn't have the brains to form a cogent answer. He's like a lot of people with early dementia, and I've known this. I have a number of clients that have gone into dementia over all the years of practice. They can go into a case or a stage of lashing out, quick-tempered. People actually using profanity that they've never used. Of course, Joey's always used a ton of profanity, so he's never improved in that sense. And if they don't have the rule for shutting off the mic, it's going to be Joey. It's not just Joey Corn Pop. It's going to be Joey Pop Off. He's going to go popping off, as may Trump to some degree. So I like that rule in this particular case. Let the person talk, and then let the other person have their response and run the mics accordingly. Number two, of course, there's no crowd. I don't know. I got a mixed feeling about that. But there are only two breaks in the 90 minutes. And the next rule is, if it's followed, that's the key. Is it going to be followed? That I think would be a great rule. And that is that during their breaks, neither one of the candidates can converse with any of their staff or advisors. So in one case, Joey Corn Pop only spouts off what somebody's putting in his ear. He's just a conduit. And then Donald Trump on the other side seems to sometimes rarely listen to his advisors. Maybe they both err in a different manner. But I think this is excellent. The third thing and the last thing before I get to the conclusion on this part of it is that neither of them are supposedly to be allowed any note cards. So Joey can't read an answer. Trump doesn't need to read an answer. So no note cards. All they're going to have is, I think, a yellow pad and a pencil. They can make notes and read from the notes that they have constructed while at the podium. And I think that's probably a good rule. Now, the caveat over all of this is you have to look at who it is that's going to be supposedly enforcing the rules. The CNN hosts? Seriously? You know, it doesn't really matter what the rules are if the people running the operation are so crooked that they won't follow the rules. I mean, Joe Stalin famously said, and I paraphrase here, it doesn't matter how many votes you got, it only matters who counts the votes. Yeah, spoken like a true Democrat, as far as I'm concerned. And the fact is, from Scripture, we know that good rules and good laws do not restrain evil people. I mean, Israel had the Ten Commandments and all the ordinances God gave to Moses. And yet, by the time that the northern tribes were hauled off to Assyria, and Judah and Benjamin headed off to Babylon, having been judged by God for not just disobeying his laws, but by disobeying perfect law and disobeying so badly that Israel and Judah were considered to be, and were, worse sin and evil than the nations that God threw out to make room for them in Canaan. So we understand. I mean, good rules are necessary. You don't want to give license and make it easy for bad people. But bad people, whether it's judges, i.e. New York, Georgia, whether it's legislatures, whether it's you've got the laws, and then you have those who interpret the laws or have the authority to ignore the laws. Right? We're back to Joe Stalin. Doesn't matter how many votes you get. It only matters who's in charge of counting the votes. So will CNN uphold its duty to actually abide by the rules that they have had a hand in creating? I guess we're going to find out. But good rules, bad people. It's why Washington, George Washington, said somewhat wistfully, I might add, and I think it was Washington, that the Constitution, that the people, the ones in authority, need to be bound by the chains of the Constitution. As much as possible, we have to force people to be bound by the law. But if the people that are in charge, especially in charge of enforcing the law, are your lawbreakers, then we see that then those who are in power have become a law unto themselves. You know, it's very frustrating to my wife, and I totally get this. She many times, actually, she's commented on, where are the people to hold these people accountable? Why isn't there anybody doing anything about this? Why can't there be something done? How do they get away with this? My answer is always the same. Because those who are vested with the authority to do something about it are complicit in the abuse. So the DOJ, so you got Merrick Garland, who is a piece of crap, needs to be, along with Mayorkas, held up for treason. But what do you, well, why doesn't they hold him accountable? Why does the DOJ, well, the DOJ is in charge of prosecuting. They're the ones, but if they won't prosecute because they're in the whole thing is fixed, the fix is in, then what do? How do you get the king's troops in colonial America to behave when the one who controls the king's troops is the king? And the king has no intention of having them behave and abide by the rules of Queensbury. Can't do it. So that's it's the same answer I keep giving. She's tired of hearing it, but it's what it is. Okay. Now, I mentioned earlier about the Biden staffers are whining about the tough media. I mean, they're whining because things are fair and balanced. Maybe from Newsmax, a little bit from Fox. So they whine if they aren't given preference. They whine if they just aren't beating up enough on Trump. They're whining because the videos are showing Joey as a clown. They're whining if the media isn't always... Biden staffers are whining basically because of this, because the media is not always functioning, maybe 90% of the time, but it's not 100% of the time. So they feel cheated if it is not always operating as the left-wing lapdog that they have promised to be. So we get now to the debate and my question, my thought as to why I want Biden to do well. I'm going to start by taking a shot at my beloved Donald Trump here. I'm still sticking but with my predictions. I still, going back over a year ago, I still think there's a strong possibility Trump won't be the candidate. I feel 14 months ago, April of 2023, is when I predicted Joe Biden would not be the candidate. And that's way before he started to really lose it and anybody was talking about it, at which time I also predicted Gavin Newsom would be the candidate, and I thought Gavin Newsom would win. I hope I'm wrong. Nobody hopes I'm wrong more than I do. And I'll be the lead story telling everybody how thrilled I am to have been wrong on that prediction. But I need to start out with an air on Trump. Donald Trump needs to just shut up when it comes to Joe Biden. Forget Joe Biden, Donald. Everybody knows he's Nimrodic. Everybody knows he's a high wire act. He's a grenade waiting to be launched. He's a firecracker waiting to be lit. We know that he's dumb, immoral, incompetent. He is the worst president in the history of the United States. We know that, Donald. So quit bashing on him. Just let him go, because here's the deal. I want Joe Biden to be the candidate. I don't want him knocked out. I want a moron that reflects a moronic party. I want somebody who's demonic reflecting a demonic party. I don't want him to win. But the worst that the Democrat candidate is, doesn't that heighten the prospect of a Trump victory? I mean, Joe Biden is the best candidate Donald Trump could ever hope to be facing. So why does he have to beat up on him in an attempt to even further galvanize the opposition to him so that somehow the Democrats, which they are working on it, I don't have time to cover it, they got a script for yanking him. It's risky because maybe he doesn't want to step down or step aside. See, he can't step out. He can't resign as president. He can't be taken out constitutionally because he's mentally fractured at the most serious levels. Why? Because that makes Kami laugh like a hyena Harris president. And that's not the plan for her to be president. In fact, it's distinctly not the plan. She's the most disliked, unfavorably considered vice president in recent history. She's a nut job. No brains, no morals. She can talk about the same thing over and over again. I mean, she's got as many gaffes as Biden. But you know what? I want those two to represent the Democrat Party. So knock it off, Trump. Just shut up about Joe. Don't help the left or encourage them any further to pull the cord on him, yank him, and then have somebody else parachute in. And to do that, in order for Joe to hang around as totally incompetent and morally bereft candidate in the history of the United States, he makes Obama look like a choir boy. I'll give that to Obama. I want him to do well during the debate. I don't want it to take votes away from Trump. Don't get me wrong. But I want him to do well enough that it puts a big pause, because the next debate's not until September, puts a long pause on the move to yank him. I want him to do really well. Keep in mind, between now and the September debate, do you know how many opportunities he's going to have to make incredible gaffes, misstatements, blunders, embarrassing, whatever. I can't even think of the Latin word here. I was going to try to use it, and it's escaped me. Brain dead moves. He's got all kinds of opportunities to screw it up multiple times between the first debate and the second debate so that he is not highly regarded come the September debate. But I want to put off Gavin Newsom, Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama. I don't think Michelle wants it. Hillary will always want it. If Hillary was dead, lying in state, she would still want to be president. So, and actually, I wouldn't be so opposed to dumping Harris and putting Hillary in as the VP to Biden if Harris quit. I really wouldn't. She's so easy to hate, and she'd so love the job. And then that puts her fighting with Gavin Greaseball Gruesome, who lusts for this job. He is a veritable antichrist in so many ways. And so, Donald, shut up and quit talking about the stolen election, how dumb Joe is. Do something, actually, that Barack Obama did back in 2014. When he spoke, I think, at the same college that Biden spoke at graduation, he talked about opportunities and things being better. Now, it's his vision of better, which is royally and totally screwed up. But the language is important. The optics do matter. We got a lot of people who are going to vote based on what they see, and that's what scares me about Newsom. Got this handsome guy, well-dressed and so forth. Some people are so stupid. And if we end up with him, it's just going to be like Israel selecting Saul. Read 1 Samuel chapter 8. And 1 Samuel chapter 8 described Barack Obama. And it would also describe Gavin Newsom. It does not describe Joe Biden. But Trump needs to go on a total positivity campaign. Yeah, he can bring out a few things about how blacks have gotten ripped off under Biden and how the Democrats have done nothing more than want to keep just give them enough to keep them happily planted on the plantation, so to speak. He needs to talk about the worlds of opportunities or the world of opportunities that exist for all groups and give a vision. We've had enough derisive stuff. There needs to be sort of a coalescing in his comments as to things that are uplifting and supportive. And so we don't vote for him because we hate Democrats so much, even though I hate everything they stand for. But some people start wanting to vote for him because of what he envisions and make that the thrust of every speech. If I could be an advisor to him, and how much I wish I could be an advisor to him, I would tell him, don't ever mention Joe Biden's name again. Totally ignore him. Hope that he's the candidate. But don't help him. Exit. Don't help build the negative groundswell that's already working against him. Don't add to it. Let the guy hang around until he just collapses and does a face plant for the last time. And it's basically too late. And if it's too late, it means Cammie's running for president. I don't know why this is so difficult, other than the fact that I just have the sense that Donald does not listen to some of his advisors. Now, part of the problem in 2016 was he listened to everybody, and he thought that people were great if they were nice to him. In some respects, he was relatively naive. Oh, he's a great guy. Well, he's really nice to him. Well, everybody's nice to the president. They want to be. They want the job. They want this or that. Corporate heads who personally would excoriate him in private sucked up to him publicly. There's nothing new. But that's when he found out that there really is a deep swamp, a deep state, and how deep that swamp is, because he almost got buried in the muck, and he's still trying to fight his way out. So maybe he's learned a lesson, but there is a scripture that applies that he needs to apply, and that passage is from the Old Testament, says that there's safety in a multitude of counselors. Now, not to take that out of context, it means, though, and certainly implies safety in a multitude of godly counselors. You will be no better ultimately as president than the quality of the people with which you surround yourself. It's what made Ronald Reagan a great president, because he attracted high quality people, and he did not need to be the big kahuna. He did not have to be the one that stood head and shoulders above all the others. He was ready to give others the space, the time, and the honor. Obama, narcissistic inferiority and security complex, quite the opposite. He picked and surrounded himself with trash, actually, to help himself look good. Donald, learn from the word. Surround yourself with godly counsel and listen to it. Don't speak evil of your opponent anymore. Speak of the good that you can bring to this nation. We need you too much to mess this up. God bless you. Sit tall in the saddle. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ.